Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If there is one thing I loathe, it's entitlement. I am happy to assist you with anything, but when someone demands and expects it, you can see yourself out. The villainous character in our lesson today is the embodiment of entitlement and the originator of sadism, du Marquis de Sade. Get it? Sade. Sadism. Here my Baptist traumatized butt just thought it was from Satan. I never imagined sadism, which is getting off from inflicting pain, suffering, or humiliation on others, was derived from a spoiled aristocratic man-child. We should have known. Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and I am thrilled to have you join my lessons. This is the history podcast where we use a magical mirror and a touch of humor to explore the lives and actions of some rotten people from our past. Our goal? To learn a valuable lesson from their mistakes that can help us in our current lives. Now, I don't want to stop anyone's slop here on Rotten, and I'm not coming at those whose kink is sadism. Whatever happens in the bedroom or dungeon between two or more consenting adults is none of my business. But I am curious to get into their minds and find out how that kink was born. I consider myself a sort of amateur sexual anthropologist, and I've been around the block more than a few times. I even cut through the alleys a time or two. But the vicious sexual appetite of du Marquis de Sade makes my escapade seem like a lovely stroll in a meadow on a beautiful spring morning. He was rich, entitled, and absolutely spoiled rotten. So let's see if we can find out how. Donatien Alphonse François was born into a seriously powerful family. His mom, Marie Eleanor, pushed him out on June 2, 1740, and his dad, Jean-Baptiste François Joseph, Count de Sade, was no slouch either. The Sade family had been high in nobility since the 13th century. They were even related by blood to the King of France. His father frequently went on diplomatic missions to foreign countries as captain of dragoons, a fancy term for soldiers on horses. At the same time, his mother resided with the Princess of Conde as one of her ladies-in-waiting. During the first 4 years of his life, the Marquis resided at Hôtel de Conde, And from a young age, his servants knew him as a spoiled and pompous child who would throw tantrums when things didn't go his way. But what 4-year-old doesn't act that way? Especially if they're handed everything on a silver platter. In 1744, his parents sent him to live with his grandma because he had probably gotten into a fight with his buddy, the prince. And after living with her for 1 year, he was sent to stay with his uncle, a priest named Abe. Meanwhile, the king basically fired his dad from his position and sent him home in shame. It was so shameful that the Marquis's mom abandoned her family and skedaddled to become a nun at a convent in Paris. Such scandal! And at the tender age of 10, Don Etienne was sent to Paris to attend school. However, due to his father's financial difficulties and inability to pay for on-campus accommodation, the Marquis had to find lodging off-campus, which was a big indicator to his family's financial status.
Broke!
And despite receiving a lot of punishment from his educators, his arrogant and condescending behavior remained unchanged, which caused problems in his interactions with others, making him appear unapproachable and difficult to work with. Well, that and the other students were discouraged from befriending anyone who lived off campus, as it was a sure sign they were poor. Dumarquis stated later in life that part of his obsession with violent acts originated from the floggings he received in boarding school. There is also some debate among biographers as to whether he was sodomized and whipped by the other students, and if that had helped lead him to his adult life of debauchery. To me, that sounds like something a straight man would come up with. Just saying. We all know here that, like homosexuality, being rotten is something some people are just born with. Especially since there's no proof of any of that happening to him, it sounds a little bit like backwater religious reasoning to me. Let me just step off my soapbox here. Now, where was I? In 1754, he was enrolled at a military academy, and he underwent 20 months of training and was commissioned as a sub-lieutenant in the king's foot guard by the time he turned 15. He even made it to the rank of captain, but he wasn't the kind of guy who'd hang out with his superiors or make friends with the other soldiers. He also had a well-known bad habit of gambling and canoodling with multiple sex workers, even with frequent protests from his dad. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make it easy to eat well and stay on track with your health goals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes or less, so you can enjoy a healthy and satisfying meal without sacrificing taste or convenience. But wait, there's more! You also have access to a diverse selection of meal options weekly with over 35 choices to fit your unique taste, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Furthermore, more than 60 add-ons are available to keep you energized and satisfied all day long. I rely on Factor to give my body the goodness it deserves. I know how to cook, but who has the time to come up with something healthy and satisfying each day? Not this queen. I love not having to shop, plan, cook, and especially not having to clean up anything except one fork. Yes, please. It's also easier on the old handbag than just going through the drive-thru or ordering takeout for every meal. Factor, my skin and waistline, thank you. So get ready to transform your life and take the first steps towards a healthier you by feeding your body the food it deserves. Head to factormeals.com/rotten50 and use code ROTTEN50 to get 50% off. That's code ROTTEN50 at factormeals.com/rotten50 to get 50% off. Well, upon the signing of the Treaty of Paris, he was discharged from service and he returned to Paris to enjoy living life on the hog. Somehow. I'm not sure where his money kept coming from. His dad was still in debt up to his ears and even contemplated joining a monastery so he could avoid having his dreadful son move back in with him. He called his son a financial burden with a bad attitude. And in an attempt to get rid of him, while also improving the family's social status, he arranged for his son to marry Renee Montreuil, the eldest daughter of a newly ennobled family. Dumacquis eventually married her, but not without a fight first. He had fallen in love with another young woman, who must have been very wise because she dumped him after only 2 months of dating. Well, like any other spoiled brat who doesn't get what he wants, Marquis threw a hissy fit and threatened to blackmail her by blaming his blistered and burning teeny weeny on her. But he had no choice but to proceed with his arranged marriage because it received the endorsement of the royal family. His new wife moved into a room at the Hotel de Montreuil in Paris that was paid for by her parents. At first, he was delighted with his new wife and even wrote to his uncle that he couldn't praise her enough. But after 2 years, he said she was too cold and devout. Nevertheless, she gave birth to 2 boys and a girl. And later on, it was found out that she helped her husband in his crimes with adolescents. Off with their heads! I'm almost certain that initially, they had a typical aristocratic union, one of obligation and without those complicated things, commonly referred to as emotions. She probably spent as much time away from her husband as possible. Who wouldn't? And only a few months into their marriage, the Marquis had secretly begun renting an apartment in Paris, and there he would have his sadistic affairs with different sex workers. In 1763, one of them, a woman named Jeanne Testard, felt so violated and afraid of what he did to her that she went to the police. She told them that he had locked her in a room and berated her with questions like whether or not she believed in God. When she answered yes, he told her that there was no God and started cursing Jesus and Mary while pleasuring himself with a chalice and crucifix. She also said that she refused his plea to beat him with a cane and a hot iron poker, to which he threatened her with a beating and death if she didn't join him in blasphemy. Well, she went to the police the next day, and on October 29th, he was arrested on the king's personal orders. And while in prison, he wrote several letters to authorities in which he expressed remorse and asked to see a priest. They believed it too, and he was released in November. Big mistake. Huge. His dad died a few months later in January 1767, and the Marquis was now a lord with even more power to cover up his rotten desires, which he put to use quickly. His next horrific act happened on Easter in 1768. On the Lord's Day, he deceived a widow named Rose Keller by luring her to his country estate, promising her a job as a housekeeper. However, when she arrived, she found out that he had no such job to offer and instead took advantage of her vulnerable situation in the most despicable way possible. Once he had her in his home, he locked her in a room and began whipping her with a cane and cat of nine tails. That's that leather whip with spikes on the end that can tear off flesh. She also claimed that he had cut her multiple times and poured hot wax into the wounds, and even threatened to kill her if she didn't stop screaming. Luckily, she managed to escape when he locked her in a room in the attic, and a formal investigation happened the next day. Of course, though, nothing substantial came from it, He was arrested and put in prison shortly, but denied that he had tied her up and poured wax into her cuts. Instead, he told them that he had hired her as a sex worker and she was trying to hurt his reputation as a lord. Doesn't that sound familiar? Rose eventually withdrew her claims after the Montreal family either threatened or paid her off. And De Marquis was released from jail on the king's order and put on house arrest at La Coste. Well, in 1770, Marquis returned to his regiment and faced hostility due to his scandalous reputation. However, he persevered and in 1771 was responsible for overseeing troops and ensuring their readiness for battle. The promotion came with a few perks, like forgiveness for all of his former sexual disgraces. Apparently, it didn't come with any extra money because he was broke as a joke and had to sell commissions on his writings. But even that didn't stop him from spending a little bit of time in debtor's prison. Can you imagine if debtor's prison were still a thing today? I call the top. Bunk. Despite all of that, in June of 1772, the Marquis traveled to Marseilles accompanied by a male servant. They had told everyone that they were going to get a loan. Despite his significant debts, people were easily convinced that he had been granted a loan. That should have been a red flag that he was up to his old tricks again. Well, he was because he spent a few days having an orgy with at least four sex workers, in which they were all beaten and drugged. Something that he would get a warrant for. Well, that and sodomy, which was illegal at the time. And when he was done there, he went and hired yet another sex worker, Marguerite Coste, and did about the same stuff to her. Apparently, he had some edible that was anise-flavored, black licorice, and laced with Spanish fly, an aphrodisiac, as well as some kind of poison or drug. Whatever was in it, Marguerite fell ill from it and filed a complaint with the police, which resulted in yet another investigation and a warrant for his arrest. He wasn't about to go to jail, though, and went into hiding in Italy, and his wife paid Laverne and Marguerite to withdraw their complaints. The court of Marseille wasn't letting that stop them, though, and they sentenced him and his accomplice to death in absentia in September. That has to be the most rich punishment I've ever heard of. It pretty much means that the men were considered legally dead despite the absence of proof. Even wilder, a few weeks after the sentence, two life-size dolls were made and burned to represent both men. He was so well off that a simple burned straw-filled doll was enough of a punishment. If you ask me, it seems more like a banishing spell to me. And what a great way to receive closure from a bad relationship. I may try that next time. While in Italy, he had a romantic affair with a woman named Anne. And as you can imagine, that made his wife as mad as a nest of hornets. Not only was her husband on the run for some scandalous crimes, but now he was shacking up with another woman? Hell no. He then foolishly wrote his mother-in-law revealing his location, and she used her influence to have him arrested and imprisoned. However, he managed to bribe his way out and returned to France in April of 1773. Once he was back in France, he narrowly avoided arrest, and in 1774, he and his wife hired several new teenage servants. Those poor servants were at most only 15, and he put them through some serious sexual deviance, all with his wife's permission. And it resulted in injuries and files of kidnapping and seduction. Well, his wife arranged for three of the girls to be sent to convents until their wounds healed, and one of the girls remained at the house but died of an illness a few months later. In June, a girl named Nanon, one of the servants involved, got in a fight with him and left in fear, even finding refuge in a convent. I wonder if the Marquis's mom was there. It didn't help her any, because she was falsely accused of theft and put in prison for 2 years. Also, she couldn't give a damning testimony. Poor girl. Now we all have a flight or fight instinct, and the flight was strong in the Marquis. He was afraid of getting arrested again and fled back to Italy for several months. That wouldn't quench his horrid sexual appetite, and he was back in France at Lacoste by June of 1776, and even began writing a book about his travels in Italy. I'm just guessing he probably didn't add why he was there. Then, somehow, he managed to hire several more servants, one of whom was named Catherine. And three of the new servants only stayed for one night before fleeing after he had offered to pay them for sex. Well, Catherine's dad found out and approached the home to get his daughter back from the pervert. He even brought a gun and fired it at the Marquis from point-blank range, but it misfired. And after a second attempt to shoot him failed, he launched another complaint of kidnapping and seduction. Well, the authorities were catching on that the Marquis was known to flee at any sign of trouble, so a scheme to capture him was devised. He was told that his mom had fallen ill in Paris, so the Marquis and his wife traveled to visit her in February of 1777. As soon as they arrived, they found out that his mom had died 3 weeks earlier, and the Marquis was hastily arrested and sent to prison. Over the course of the next few years, he was repeatedly imprisoned and managed to escape several more times, only to be caught and thrown back into prison again. He even resorted to bribing the court for a lesser sentence, but he also continued to get arrested. At one point, he made his way back home to Lacoste, but was arrested once again, and finally returned to prison. Again.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you imagine if he had been a poor person? He would have been killed after the first offense. While he was locked up, he wrote a lot of letters to his wife and kept working on a book about his travels in Italy. He also didn't let his imprisonment stop him from writing several failed plays. During the summer of 1782, he began writing several plays and books, but the prison he was in shut down and he was transferred to the Bastille. While there, he produced The 120 Days of Sodom, and while in the Bastille in July of 1789, He improvised a megaphone and shouted to passersby that the wardens were killing the prisoners. He was sent to an insane asylum that very evening and remained there for an entire year until a vote to abolish the king's personal orders of arrest occurred, and he was released the following month in April. Do you think he learned his lesson? Of course not. After getting out, his wife up and left him. So he started seeing an actress named Marie, who stayed with him until his death. He also started spending more time on writings and used the name Louis Sade, man of letters, to show off his writing skills, and he tried to become a professional writer. That hobby didn't keep him out of trouble, though. Along with the writing, the Marquis got into some pretty big political trouble. He was arrested in July of 1794 for associating with revolutionaries and anti-republicanism and sentenced to be executed several months later. However, he somehow managed to escape a death sentence, some say through bribery. You know, one of those, you whip my back and I'll whip yours situations. After being released, he shifted his focus towards literature and personal affairs, and published a series of anonymous novels, including Philosophy in the Bedroom. He still had a tough time with money because of his debts and limited property income. On top of that, there had been a mistake with his paperwork, and he had been labeled an immigré, which put him in a bad spot. It meant that they could take his property away and even arrest him. Again. In October of 1796, he even had to sell his home, Lacoste, because of his money troubles. But his wife got everything. And his status as an immigré was finally revoked in December of 1799, by which time he had fallen deeper into poverty and had even registered as indigent, aka poor. A few years later, there was a crackdown on public immorality, and de Marquis was arrested again for his corrupt sexual deviance. The police minister even ordered his detention without trial because he didn't think the pornography laws would punish him enough, and he wanted to avoid a public media scandal.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. De Marquis de Sade is a sadistic pervert. And he ugly.
In this next part, I'm not sure if he was just dumb or if he couldn't control his sexual urges. Let's say both. But he tried to seduce several young prisoners while he was locked up for public immorality. God, that's like eating a Snickers at a Weight Watchers meeting. And they literally thought, he must be out of his mind, because he was diagnosed with libertine dementia and sent to an asylum. Again. His wife and children felt pity on him and agreed to have him transferred to a nicer asylum and even paid for his room and board there. While his girlfriend, Marie, pretended to be his illegitimate daughter and was allowed to live with him on the dime of his ex-wife and children. She don't love herself. During his stay there, he was permitted to pursue his writings and even produced a few plays at the new theater built in the asylum. I wonder what snacks they had at intermission. Red pill or yellow? Well, all of that ended in 1813 when the government forced the asylum to shut down the theater. Du Marquis didn't mind much because he was enjoying himself in another romantic relationship, this time with the teenage daughter of one of the asylum employees, which only resulted in further charges of immorality. He just never learns, does he? As the autumn of 1814 approached, Du Marquis de Sade's health began to fail. He was weakened and was plagued with a range of ailments, and despite the best efforts of his doctors, his condition worsened, and by December 2, 1814, he succumbed to a crippling case of prostrating gangrenous fever and died at the age of 74. For those who don't know, gangrene affects tissue under the skin surface and spreads throughout the body, often resulting in septic shock. Don't look up images. Trust me. I'll never be able to eat a burned hot dog ever again. I learned from the rotten Marquis de Sade that I am grateful for my mentality. I wasn't spoiled rotten as a child, but I was whipped with belts, hands, and switches. It didn't make me like being whipped and beaten as an adult, but I will say it's probably part of the reason I call my lovers daddy. Well, that and I just never ask for their names. Too personal. I also learned that it is terrifying the power that a title and some money can do to keep someone out of trouble. It's no wonder people have been doing it throughout history. I am glad the times are changing for some, unless you're Prince Andrew, in which case you just get stripped of your titles and avoid any prison time. I also learned that sexual fetishes can come from anywhere, and that there is nothing wrong with most of them. I don't stop the slop. As long as it's among wholly consenting adults who know what they're getting into and have a safe word. I believe it's also valuable to go to therapy and dissect them with a professional. If nothing else, just to know how you tick better. I myself learned I was so promiscuous because I was using it as a form of self-harm and craving for intimacy. And knowing that really helped me find healthier ways to find physical romance with men who don't steal my valuable energy and flee. On that note, that brings us to the end of our lesson today, my darlings. So let's cleanse ourselves of this rotten man, and I'll let you be off on your next life lesson. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with spirit, and that I will always be enough. So be it. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, stay happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about De Marquis de Sade and what lessons you learned from our lesson on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History. And don't forget, you can listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane. And please join our Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we can interact and have a plethora of extra fun, foul, mysterious, rotten, and historical things a-brewing. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic week, my darlings. Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.